Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Well, it was the Holy Ghost. I felt moving down in my soul, like a burning fire. I thank God for the Holy Ghost. And I'm so excited to be on the broadcast today. This is the Prospering Souls broadcast, and we're so grateful to be coming into your airways and on your phone lines and through your internet just to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we are so excited about the Word of God. We are continuing in our series on the Holy Ghost, and we thank God for our teacher that's been teaching that, and all of the other elders and ministers that have been on the line, and they've also been participating and talking through this topic. And it's such a great topic to talk about, because we need this type of teaching so that we can have a foundation about the things, and even taking our lives even further. For those of you that don't know about the Holy Ghost, you might be like Apollos was, or like some of the Corinth, those in Corinth, the Gentiles that said, we have not so much as heard of the Holy Ghost. But I tell you today, we're going to continue to learn about it so that you can seek after it and you can want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. If you haven't been filled with the Holy Ghost, this teaching is for you. And my prayer is always that those that find it, those that need it, would find this broadcast. So we're so thankful just to be on the line today, and we're going to go ahead with prayer, and then we're going to do a recap while we're waiting for our speaker to get on the line. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you today, hallelujah, for your mercy and for your grace. I thank you, Father, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. We thank you for the Word of God, hallelujah. And, Lord, you said, you said faith come by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And you said, how can they preach except they be sent? So we thank you, Lord Jesus, for that Bishop Allen that has been sent to teach this word on today, and all of us that are participating on the broadcast that have been sent to teach this word today. Lord, we thank you for that, Lord Jesus, and we thank you for giving us the thoughts and to do the kingdom work, oh God, because this is kingdom work, and we're so thankful for it. Lord, we ask you to bless all those that need this broadcast, that need this teaching, would find it, would hear it, and would listen to it, and those that will listen to it now, those that will listen to it later, we thank you for it. But let the word fall on good ground, Lord, that it will spring up And, Lord, that they will be renewed by the word of God and begin to walk out this Christian life. So, Lord, we're so grateful today. Bless Bishop Allen as he comes and all those that will participate today. We ask you, Lord, to cover them with your blood, Lord Jesus. Give them anointing, O God, that destroys yokes, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for so much. We're so grateful for just this opportunity. And thank you, Lord, for this broadcast and this ideal and this concept that you've given us. And we thank you for it, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord, saints. Praise the Lord. We're so thankful for those that are already on the broadcast. And I tell you, we're just going to do a little brief recap, like I said, while we're waiting on our speaker to get on the our teacher to get on the line. Last week we were talking about, hold on, just we were talking about, could Minister Henry and Randy, could y'all greet the people while I talk to our speaker?
Hi, everybody. I hope you guys are ready. Our speaker is getting ready, and he's going to be teaching on the Holy Spirit, so I hope all of you are listening. I hope you have your pens and papers and ready to take notes, because he's going to give some good information.
Brenda, she just called on you to say something to the people because she's talking to Bishop Allen, just to encourage them about the Holy Ghost. Brother Henry just said something, and she wants you to greet the people and say something to them.
Oh, okay.
Hurry up. Here.
And while we're waiting for Elder Randy, I hope all of you out there listening are encouraged, and I hope all of you had a blessed service, and you guys are doing fine. Elder Randy, are you there?
Yes, I am. God bless you.
God bless you. Go ahead, Elder. Go ahead, Elder. We just wanted you to greet the people. I was waiting on Bishop Allen to get online. He's on the line now. But we were just going to do a brief synopsis, but our speaker is on the line, and so we will let him go forward if he's ready to get started.
Well, what kind of synopsis? This is Bishop Allen. Greetings to all the listeners. What kind of synopsis were you giving?
Well, I was going to just talk briefly about, you know, just about receiving the Holy Ghost and how we talked about on last week.
Yeah.
How Apollos and even some of the other Gentile believers, they had not even so much as heard of the Holy Ghost. And after they were given the word, because what happens is we repent, and so we repent. We do. John talked about preached about repentance unto sin, for sin, for repenting for sin. But what we have to do is we have to go the next step further to receive the Holy Ghost and have faith in Christ. And I just wanted to bring that out. And the reason why John was able to introduce the Holy Ghost, when he saw Jesus coming, he said, "Behold the Lamb." And he's the one that comes. He said he's not only going to baptize you with water, but he'll also baptize you with fire, with spirit, with fire. It's because John had already received the Holy Ghost in the womb. So he knew about the Holy Ghost. The others may not have known about it, but John knew the next step, and that's why God allowed him to bring that out when he saw Jesus coming. So I was just going to say that, and we can move on from there.
Yes, that's very good. Hello, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, Bishop.
Good to be with you on another week. I preached this morning at church. We had a time, and we took in some converts, some new people, young men, and I did bring in the Holy Ghost on the end of my message, because really, anytime you are preaching or teaching, somewhere along the line, you've got to introduce the Father, the Son, or the Word, and the Holy Ghost. They've got to be intertwined with your message somewhere, because that is the powerhouse, the headquarters from which the Holy Ghost is sent to fill you. And I let them know this morning that without the Holy Ghost, well, I preached on the topic of love. Brethren, what manner of love is this that the Lord should bestow upon us, that we should become called the sons of God? And that was, I told them all about all the kind of love, your filial love and all those loves that people have. But those are earthly, those are fleshly loves. And those loves are limited. Now, I also said when the young lawyer came to Jesus and said, now, what must I do to inherit eternal life? See, I got this life, but now I need to know how I'm going to get out of here right. And, of course, God, Jesus pulled him and said, do you know the law and love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself? Well, when I got through with the parable of the Good Samaritan, for everybody walked on the other side except Jesus, who is a type of Christ. Because on the Jericho road is a type of people being in their sins and need somebody to come and rescue them. And that's what happens in all cases in this day. You need Christ to come and rescue you. Now, you cannot love God in your flesh. You have to love God in your spirit. When you say you must love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy might and all that, it's impossible to love God when you're not filled with his spirit. You're not his son or his daughter until you're filled with his spirit. Why do you have to be filled with the spirit? Because the spirit has to regenerate you. Being regenerated by the Holy Ghost is what the Bible says. Amen. Over in Titus. Now, regenerate, the word G-E-N is the word gen, or G-E-N-E is the word genes. You got to get spiritual genes in you, just like your mom and daddy had to put natural genes in you to get you here. In order for you to get to heaven, you're going to have spiritual genes, because Adam was created, and he fell. And now, in order for God to make new sons, he has to now put that same spirit that he had in Adam in us. You have to get that spirit back. God got to restore what he put in Adam. And let's go through a little bit of that. Amen. Now, if you look, the very beginning of your Bible, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the heaven and the earth. Now watch. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now, and the Spirit of God. There's your Holy Ghost right there. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So it began. The Holy Ghost started on the very first day of creation. It didn't start on the day of Pentecost. It came in us on the day of Pentecost. But it started on the very first day of God's creation. Now, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now remember, 1 John 5:7, there are three that bear record in heaven: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. These three are one. Now, the Father is the one that reasons, makes the decision, and decides what he wants. The Word don't decide what he wants. The Word only speaks after the Father decides what he wants. So it says, and God said, that's the Word talking. That's God's Word. You can't say nothing without your Word. If I say, Denise said, well, Denise decided to say that. So that's Denise talking. But if Denise don't never say nothing, it ain't going to move out of your mouth. Now watch this. And God said to the word, this is verse number 3, he said, let there be light. And his word said it, and what happened? And there was light. The spirit kicks in after the word is told what it wants. The spirit is the one that brought the light, but it had to be told what to do. As I said before, just like driving your car. When you get up in the morning, you tell yourself, you're going to go out there and drive that car. If you don't tell yourself, your car will never move. So we tell yourself, as a father does, then you begin to walk to your front door, unlock your door, walk down to your car, get in your car, and then you say, I'm going to work. And you said it. If you hadn't said nothing, you would sit in that car. But you said it, and then your word said to your spirit, let's go. And you all started on down the road. You're still one person, but you've done 3 things. You thought about what you wanted to do. You got in the car to do it, and you went on your road and done it. That's the Father, God the Word, and God the Holy Ghost. So I just wanted to point out that in the beginning of the creation, the Holy Ghost was there. Excuse me. Now, I hope everybody got that. I hope everybody got that. Because now we go to Genesis 2 and 7. Now, what I'm showing you in my talk today is that the Holy Ghost didn't start on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Ghost came in us. But the Holy Ghost itself was at work before the Pentecostal day came. So now if we go to Genesis 2 and 7, everybody, I want somebody to read that for me. Genesis 2 and 7. Are we there?
And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul.
Now, when you read that, you are looking at the actions of the Holy Ghost. Now, another thing I want to show you, when you go from Genesis chapter 1 and come over to Genesis chapter 2, you're going to find that everything in chapter 1 was said, and God said. And God said, and God saw that it was good. And God said on the 4th day. And God said on the 5th day. And God said on the 6th day. And God said on in the creation of man. But when you cross over to chapter 2, it no longer says, and God said. When you look at chapter 2, and you look at verse number 4, read that verse.
These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens.
Now notice, he is not saying God. Keep reading that verse number 5.
And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground.
Now I want you to notice that in chapter 2, it no longer says, and God did this, or God said that. It says, the Lord God. So what that is, Christ himself, the pre-existent Christ, the pre-incarnate Christ, before he came to earth as Jesus, was Lord God. God gave him to be Lord God. The Father gave it to him. So Jesus was the one involved in this creation. And so he, as the Lord God, verse number 7, he can form man of the dust of the ground. He can breathe into his nostrils. The Lord God breathed. And he breathed the breath of life. And man become a living soul. Adam received the Holy Ghost in chapter 2, verse 7. If he received the life of God like you're trying to receive, you want the Holy Ghost, and you become a spiritually living soul. See? That had nothing to do with man in verse number 7 or woman. It was God and Adam. So the Holy Ghost is moving in the Old Testament. And especially in the beginning. See? So God's spirit put in Adam what God wanted. And now watch, here's the point of the whole thing. Once the Holy Ghost is God's creative power. Now, when Mary, the Virgin Mary, was told she was going to have a child, the angel also said, the power of the highest shall overshadow you, and that which is going to be conceived in you is of the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost is God's creative power, because Jesus is God created in Mary. God created himself a body in Mary by the Holy Ghost, and he called that name Jesus or Emmanuel, for he shall save his people from their sin. It cannot be a man involved with Jesus Christ, or our sins would not have been cleansed, because the body of a natural man is contaminated with sin. He cannot produce an uncontaminated seed. So God had to create him a pure line seed and bring it all the way down from Adam to Jesus. Now, here's another thing I want to, everybody got that? Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
You hear him? Y'all so quiet.
Hear you.
Y'all say amen sometimes. That's all right. That's fine. I just want to be sure we aren't cut off or anything. So now in Genesis chapter 3, I want you to flip over there and read to me verse number 20. Genesis 3:20. Now, what you're going to notice is this is at the end of the fall.
And read now.
When you read it, you're going to see that Adam and Eve have now been put out of the garden, or getting ready to be put out. They've been sentenced to be put out. So now what did Adam say in verse 20?
And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living.
Now, this is why I tell people she was already pregnant in chapter 3. Chapter 3 is when she became the mother of all living. That is what the fall was. She became the mother of all living the wrong way. So Adam called his wife and named her Eve, because she was already right then, before they ever got put out of the garden, the mother of all. She's already a mother. So what happened in the garden? Tell me. What makes a woman become a mother? I ain't nobody saying nothing to me, so I don't get you.
In order for her to have become a mother, she had to have a seed planted.
And who did that?
The serpent.
Uh-huh. All right. Now, you know why I asked you to say that? Because if you look back at chapter 3 and look at verse number, let me see here, number 14, what did it say?
And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life.
Go ahead.
And I will put enmity between thee and the woman.
Who's he talking to?
The serpent.
Go ahead.
And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel.
Did the serpent have a seed? You want to read it over again?
And I will put enmity between thee and the woman.
Now read the next four words.
And between thy seed.
Does the serpent have a seed? He has to have one to put this enmity between his seed.
Yes. Wow.
So he had a seed. Just like the woman had a seed. Now, the serpent had got started with his seed because the Lord said, now that you've done it, you're going to have a seed popping out. I'm going to put enmity between yours and hers. I got to carry y'all to this because I haven't brought you to the water yet. I want you to drink. If the serpent has a seed, where did he put the seed? He sees the mother of all living. And the serpent had a seed, and God don't put, he done planted it, because God can't put no enmity if it ain't planted.
That's
so
right.
Where did he plant it?
In Eve.
In Eve.
All right. There you go. Y'all preachers got that to preach on now. See? And between thy seed and her seed, and it, talking about the woman's seed, shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise, who is his heel? The serpent.
Yeah, the serpent.
There's going to be enmity between the devil's seed and the seed of God. Now, we'll have to take up that whole issue at another time to explain the entirety on the scriptures pertaining to the serpent seed.
Yes.
But we don't have time to do that today. But I had to bring you back there to show you that the Holy Ghost had already got started, because it is the creative power of God. So the woman's seed will be the creative power of God in a woman, coming from a man. And the devil has already started his seed. He don't create no seed. He put it in there. Devil cannot create. The devil can. How many believe the devil cannot create?
He cannot create. He was created. He was created, so he can't create.
That's right. Now, the Lord gave you that. If he was created, then he can't create. A creator has to be the beginning.
Yes.
See? When you had your baby, Jessica, Randy, you didn't create her.
Mm-mm.
You just had a seed in you put in you by God.
Yes.
And you put that seed in Phyllis.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't create her. You just passed on and got her started. Got her started. You gave life to her by passing your seed to your wife, who is the woman of your home. Huh? She is the woman of all living in your home.
Right.
Just like Eve was the mother of all living in the world. Huh?
Exactly.
So Adam had the natural seed, and that's where we're going with this. Adam, through the Holy Ghost, had the natural seed. Now let's prove that. Let's prove that. Let's go. I'm going to give you two genealogies. Now, woman, the mother of all living, the one who would bear all flesh through her body. Nobody can come in this earth without coming through a woman. Nobody. And not even Jesus. Not even God himself can come into this earth without coming through a woman, because he said back there, she's the mother of all living. And when he said back there, it's done. Now tell me anybody that got here without coming through a woman.
Or
you
no
say,
one.
Well, you say the UFOs. You say, what's that guy, what he called his name? That unseen, undetermined, unidentified object man boy. They call him. What they call him with that long neck?
E.T.
E.T.
Yeah.
He don't live here. He can't live here because he didn't come through a woman. He can't live here. There are unidentified objects, but they can't live here. We can talk about that some other time, too, but I'm just trying to show you the genealogy of Jesus. Now, let's go. We're going to go to two places here. We're going to go to Matthew 1 and 1, and we're going to go to Luke 3:21. Now, turn to that, please, Matthew 1 and 1. And our point is that the Holy Ghost is moving from Genesis 1 and 1. All the way down. Now, we know the sister scripture to Genesis 1:1. There's John in 1 who says, in the beginning was the Word.
Mm-hmm.
And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh. We know that is the scripture. So, following the Holy Ghost carries the bloodline. Brother Dotson, do you carry your bloodline?
Yes, I do.
You have been empowered.
My father.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. God fathers through power, through his creative power. You father through your natural power.
Exactly.
Now, let's go look at Jesus. Matthew 1 and 1, we're talking about this Holy Ghost in a different way. Now, in Matthew 1 and 1, what does it say?
The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David.
Where did Jesus come from? Who generated him? Here we go. What does it say?
The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of David, the son of Abraham.
Yeah.
Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob. Jacob begat Judas and his brethren.
All right. Come down to the 16th verse.
And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ.
All right. Of whom was born Jesus? Jesus was born of Mary, and his name was Christ. Now, this is his genealogy all the way back to Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
Look at verse 17.
So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations.
Mm-hmm.
And from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations.
Mm-hmm.
And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations.
Now, 3 times 14 is? Mathematicians?
42.
3 times 14.
42.
Okay, so it took 42 generations to get Jesus down out of Abraham. In other words, to bring Jesus through the line or the lineage of Abraham, it took 42 generations. Now, that's the genealogy of Christ. Now, that means when you say Christ, that is different from just Jesus. That's the part of the Godhead that is the anointing or the anointed one, Christ. See, the Lord Jesus was the given earthly name. But Christ is his spiritual lineage by the Holy Ghost. From Abraham, look at that first verse in chapter 1. What does it say?
The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham.
So when you get down to verse 16, it says, Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. And it took 14 generations to get it. Now, the other part I want you to do is flip over to Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. Now, as you come to that, remember, the genealogy of Christ, 42 generations, starts with Abraham to Christ, and 42 generations of Christ brings the bloodline of the majesty of the power of God. Ends up being Christ's spiritual line. Now, what that tells you is the seed of Mary versus the seed of the serpent, what God is showing you here is the seed of the woman coming on down to Jesus, who he is the seed of Mary, right?
Right.
Is Jesus the seed of Mary?
Yes.
Did he come out of her?
Yes.
So she is going to bring forth the seed that came down from God to be an adversary to the seed of the serpent. So who knows who the serpent's agent here is on earth? What's his name? What's the serpent's agent here on earth?
The devil.
Y'all don't know him?
Huh? The devil.
The devil. The devil is the serpent's agent. He's the one that got all this stuff going through that serpent. So he's been waiting on this seed all the time. And his seed, he's going to use his seed. And we can go back and follow that sometime. But that which was conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And so therefore, all these generations coming down from Abraham to Jesus is the royal bloodline out of which we're getting ready to see in the natural. Now, remember, Jesus had two sides. He's both God and man. Is that right?
That's correct.
He got a God side and a man side. Because he could eat and cry and all that. That's the man side. But when he told that wind to shut up, whose side was that?
That was a God side.
That was God's side. Now we're following that down to Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. Everybody flip over to that. And I hope the audience is getting a good understanding about the movement and the genealogy of Jesus, bringing in the Holy Ghost from all the way to in the beginning, God said. All right? 3:21 of Luke tells us what?
Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heavens was opened.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son. In thee I am well pleased.
Now, I choose to believe that when he said, In thee I am well pleased, I don't take that to mean, I think you're a good boy. I'm pleased that you came here. But I choose to believe that when he says, In thee, that I'm actually coming in you now. In thee I am pleased to dwell. Now, didn't the Bible say it? God was where? In Christ, doing what? Reconciling.
Reconciling the world back to himself.
So, if he was in Christ, I would think that this is the place he came in. It said the Holy Ghost descended. So what did he do? And the voice from heaven, which was the Father, of course. So you got the Son on earth, you got the Holy Ghost coming down, and you got the Father saying, This is my Son. So that had to be who talking.
That was God. That was God talking. And
God
that's
the Father.
He filled him with the Holy Ghost right then.
Right there.
It came upon
that's
him.
That's what I
and
want you to get.
Him.
Huh?
It came upon him, and then it went in him.
That's right. Now, everybody in the world needs to know that and read that and see that. Because the Holy Ghost had already been in action all the way back to Abraham. It told you that other scripture that this son here was the bloodline of Abraham. So Abraham had to have if his son got the Holy Ghost, then he had to have it.
Bishop Allen.
Now,
Bishop Allen.
Yes.
You're saying that when Jesus was a baby or in Mary's womb, because God had overshadowed her, he wasn't filled then because John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost within the womb.
Yes,
are you
sir.
Saying that Jesus Christ was filled at this baptism?
Yes. Christ was created in the womb at that time, but he was not filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost come to fill you for a work. Age of one or less than one, when that happened, he was not ready for that work. Even at the age of 12, he was God in the flesh, but he was not ready for the birth. See, he couldn't have the birth because he was not ready to be used. But when down there talking to those people, now watch this. Listen very much. He had the wisdom. He knew who his daddy was. Now, he knew who his daddy was. He knew Joseph was his natural father, but he also knew that God was his spiritual father. Now, here we go. When marrying him, why did you do that, boy? What did he tell him?
Must be about my father's business.
Don't you know? I must be about who?
My father.
Who was he talking about?
He was talking about God.
There you go. And so when he got to be 30 years old, he comes and gets ready to be about the father's business. But he gave in to his mother and Joseph and went on home at the age of 12. But 18 years later, here he stands. Here he stands to be baptized. And here the Holy Ghost comes on down. See? It's the Holy Ghost was put in him by as a seed. That which is conceived in her. See what I'm saying? But he had to follow the same procedure of the filling if he was going to do the work. Just like you. You, your name was put in the Lamb Book of Life. Some of y'all tell me when your name was put in the Lamb Book of Life.
From the foundation of the world.
From the foundation of the world. Now, when you were born in your mother, was your name already in the book?
Yes, it was, Bishop. Yes.
I said when you were born from your mother's womb.
Yes, sir.
Was your name already in the book?
Yes, sir.
Your name was already in the book. But you weren't ready to do what God was calling you to do. Although your name was in the book and all the rights and the things that we're supposed to have were there. But they could not be activated. Now, let me show you what I mean by that. If you go get a credit card and you receive it in the mail, the company that sent you that card, did they give you authority in that card?
No, not until you activate it.
No, that's what I want to hear you say. You can walk around with it for a year. You got the authority to use it, but it's not time until you what? Activate it. Same thing with Jesus. Now, John, he had to come out of the womb.
Bishop, before you go forward, can I ask you a question about activation?
Yes, sir.
So there was a saying about when your name was written, and the answer was from the foundation of the world.
Mm-hmm.
They call the analogy that it has to be activated. Now, what causes the activation then? Because
what
now,
Randy
said, well, you have to activate the card. So
what's your question?
What causes the activation? Yeah.
What caused the activation is the time. Now, when he put your name in the book, he was saying what they call time or predestination. Now, when you say predestination, that's a word you need to hear that right now. Let me hear y'all say pre.
Predestination.
Now, if I give you predestination today, I'm giving you the destination power previous to you getting it done. See, I'm empowering you with the pre. But you can't do the pre until your destination or the time that God is ready to activate you. See? Predestination is in the book of Matthew, the book of Romans, chapter 8. For whom he did foreknow, Romans chapter 8, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Now listen to Bishop. If God put your name back there, then his intention was to activate you so you could be conformed to the image of Jesus, right?
Amen.
Now, he couldn't activate you till Jesus came. Because you're going to be conformed to the image of Jesus. He put your name in the book of life way before Jesus. You couldn't do nothing before you were activated to be conformed, but your name was there. You already knew you were coming. That's foreknowledge. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. He didn't just now find out who you were. He knew who you were before he ever created the world. But he activated you. Now, when did you get saved and filled? And you, the brother that asked the question, when did you get saved and filled?
When you accept Jesus as Lord and personal Savior.
Huh?
When one accepts Jesus as Lord and personal Savior. Now, when
okay,
that happened.
When was that day with you? When was your day? Can you tell me when it was?
No, I don't remember the exact day.
Do you remember the month or the year?
I don't remember the exact month.
Do you remember the year?
Well, I was, let me put it like this. I was finally baptized,
1991.
Yes, sir.
All right. If you were baptized and you got God's Spirit, let's just say 1991. Then, how long ago before 1991 had your name been in the book?
Well, definitely according to scripture, that would be before I was even born.
Yes, sir. But you had been given the authority not when in 1991. That's not when you got the authority. That's not when you got the credit card. You got the credit card before the world ever began.
Yes, sir. But that's when I responded, 1991.
Yes, sir. God activated your card. You already had the card. But you couldn't do nothing with it until it was activated. How old were you? 21, 25 when it happened? See?
I was about...
Well, let's just say that you were 20 years old or 21. I don't know how old you were.
I was about 17, 18 or so.
Okay, when you were 17 and God activated your card, that means that everything that's in your card, whatever the value of your card was when God authorized your card, foundation of the world, he authorized your credit card. But he activated your credit card in 1991. See? Now, before you got yourself in the Lord, did you know anything about Jesus?
Yes, sir. I grew up in the church, literally.
Mm-hmm. So you had a wisdom and knowledge about Jesus way back.
Yes, sir.
But God could not use you until he was ready.
Yes, sir.
That's the same thing with Jesus.
I have a question.
The only difference between you and Jesus back then was Jesus came into the world without a daddy. You came into the world with a daddy. Jesus was not in sin. You were in sin.
Definitely.
So because he was not in sin, he could understand the wisdom of the elders. And because he was not in sin, he knew his father. So he said, I must be about my father's business, but it is not time for me to do it. So I'm going to go home with mom and daddy and wait for 18 years. And at the age 30, he's standing in the baptismal waters of John. And now, when he is dipped in the water, and he comes up, and a sound from heaven, a light comes down, a dove comes down, and sits upon him. Is that right?
That's right.
A dove comes down and sits upon him, and then a voice, what he said, the Holy Ghost came down and sit upon him in the shape of a dove. So where did the Holy Ghost come from?
From heaven.
Mm-hmm. All right. And he heard a voice. He heard a voice. Where did the voice come from?
From heaven.
Now, heaven is activating his card. He had the authority back there at age 12, but it wasn't time.
Bishop Allen.
Yes.
Also, just, I guess I was thinking, in Acts, there came a sound from heaven
mm-hmm.
as a mighty wind. In
so
Acts,
it's a,
came from you, heaven.
You're relating that to the day of Pentecost.
Yes, yes,
is that
I am.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Well, it's the same thing right
yes.
now today.
Yes.
If we had enough people to go and pray. We don't have enough people to pray in one place with one accord long enough. Now, you and I both know that if we go to a church and stay in there for 10 days fasting and praying, oh, something's going to happen.
Yeah, amen. Something will happen.
The same thing that happened on the day of Pentecost. If we went up there with 120 people and stayed in there for 10 days without nothing from the outside, and praying for people to be filled with the Holy Ghost, what you think going to happen?
Somebody's going to be filled.
But they ain't doing that now. Nobody's willing to stay before God long enough to get filled like they used to. Some do, but very few. Now, it's upon these leaders. These leaders are not calling for a room revival. I'm calling for one over at our church. I'm calling for it. I'm calling for it. Because we got to activate Pentecost. Pentecost was an activation of the credit card for 120 people.
Amen.
And just like you said, they
Amen.
Were all in one place with one accord, and there came a sound from where?
From heaven.
Yeah, just like Jesus, there came a sound. And when the sound came, the Holy Ghost came upon Jesus in the form of a dove. Well, when in the upper room, there came a sound from heaven as a right rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the place. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues of fire. And they began to speak with tongues as the Spirit. There's that Spirit. As the Spirit. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Speak with tongues. As the Spirit gave them to utter. And Peter got to preaching. And Peter said, what? This is that what? That was spoken of by the prophet Joel.
Mm-hmm.
It shall come to pass in the last days. What are you going to do?
Pour out his spirit.
Is this the last day? Yes, sir, it is.
I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Young men dream dreams, old men see visions. And your handmaidens, well, I'll pour out my spirit on your handmaidens, and they shall prophesy. Now, ain't nothing you can do but get busy, man. Huh? We got to get busy. Because the Holy Ghost has got to take this thing. It's time to get this thing finished up now. I told him this morning, I preached every first Sunday. I told him this morning, I said, and I was talking to him about the love of God. I said, what manner of love is this? That we should be called the sons of God. does not yet appear where he shall be. But when he does appear, we shall know him, for we shall see him as he is. And Paul told them, y'all say you don't know nothing about the Holy Ghost? Come on out here and I'll show you all about it. And Paul took all 12 of them, including Apollos. He wasn't filled either. And he laid hands on them, and the Holy Ghost came on them, and they began to speak with tongues and prophesy.
Bishop,
I think you understand, huh?
Elder Dotson just grabbed a piece of paper, and he drew a picture of a cloven tongue as best he could, and then he drew a picture of a bodily shape of a dove, and they are just about the same. If you can picture that in your mind, a dove, you know, I guess they're in flight, and then that cloven tongue, he showed a picture of fire. It was it had the same shape.
Exactly right.
That's what he just drew.
You drew a picture of the tongues?
Yeah, the cloven, you know, the cloven fire, you know, a picture of fire, and then he drew a picture of a dove, you know, with his wings up.
Oh, yeah, the fire and the tongues go together. The reason that, look, right? Now, when you say eat, you're talking about one at a time, right?
Amen.
So you look around that room, everybody had a burning flame on top of their head.
Yes.
Now, that was the activation time. And Jesus was activated in Jordan River by the Holy Ghost. Is the same all the way back to Genesis. God is not changed. There's two things he can't do. He cannot change.
Cannot lie.
And he cannot lie.
I have a question, Bishop. In Genesis 1 and 20, and I have a question about Genesis 1 and 27, where it talks about, because I was thinking about our names being written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but I also was wondering, okay, in Genesis 1 and 27, it says, so God created man in his image, and in the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them. And so my interpretation of that is when really we all were created. But through time, we had to pass through time for our time to get into the world.
Say that one more time. I think you're right. What did you say?
I said the scripture says, 1 and 27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them. My interpretation of that particular scripture, and I was thinking about it more so on our names being written, but is that at that point in time, all of us were created.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
But we had to come through time for us to be, for the manifestation to come into the earth. So, you know, for that, those two, the earthly seeds to come together in order for us to come through. But we had already been created at that time.
Back there. You got that right. Because in Adam, all die. We was all there.
Yeah.
In Adam, all die. But in Christ, all are made alive.
Yes.
You just now said that very thing. So when you come into this earth, you come through Adam. So you're dead. Now your name can be in the Lamb Book of Life. That don't have nothing to do with it. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. See, but your name is still in there. When I preached this morning, I said the love of God through the Holy Ghost came in you. And when he came in you, if you were filled, you were rotten, dirty, and stinky. Yeah, you are rotten, dirty, and stinky. And sinful. But he looked beyond your thoughts.
Hallelujah.
Huh? He went past, I told him, I said, he went past all that lying and that envy and that hate and all that stuff was in you. He went past that and put the Holy Ghost in you because your name was in that book.
Yes, sir.
And he, once he activated your card, you come up out of that tavern. You come up out of that nightclub. You come up out of that homosexual. You come up out of that stuff you were doing with people that you shouldn't have been doing. You came out of that, all of that lust. But then that Holy Ghost in you began to replace some of the mess you were in. See, it's not just the Holy Ghost. It's also a replacer. It is a creative power.
Mm.
And so now I love all of y'all. But you know where that comes from? The Holy Ghost.
Yes.
That's where it comes from. Now, when you get agape love, you can't replace that with nothing. No kind of love. You might love your husband. You might love your children. You might love this, that, and the other. But those are common carnal loves. And they are limited. But now, when you get agape love, you know what I told them this morning? I put my hand up to my face and I slapped my face. And then I slapped my face on the other side. Like somebody could do, he said, how many times would you forgive them? And what do you do if somebody slapped your face? Jesus said, turn the other cheek. But you can't do that without agape love. You're going to fire back without agape love, right?
Amen.
Even if somebody was a friend of yours and you had a love friendship, right? But if they stole $1,000 out of your bank account, if you didn't have an agape love, what's going to happen? Y'all going to still be friends?
Not without agape love.
Somebody took $1,000 out of your bank account and you don't have agape love, oh, you're going at them. You're going at them. They're going to feel your fury. But that's why the Lord came. So he could calm down my fury and put me in control and not the devil. Huh?
Amen.
Well, we're way past time, aren't we? Y'all got
it. We're about 10 minutes past the hour, so we have a few more minutes left, and then we'll begin to do our.
Yeah, I wanted y'all to go ahead and if there's any questions or any comments y'all wanted to talk about or do your final stuff, you can go ahead because I'm about finished for today.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions?
I hope I answered that young man's question.
Is everybody, all hearts and minds clear?
Everybody, any comments or anything? Because I hope the people listening will call you all up to them and pray with them. And
yes.
Maybe they have some questions, see? So you might want to tell your audience, if you have some questions about this that we talked about today, where to send it, who to call, so y'all can do that too.
Okay. Well, if anyone is out there and has any questions concerning the teaching today, you can email me at Denise, that's DeniseBryson Ministries, MinisTries, all one word, at gmail.com. And then we can get those questions. If you have any questions that you would like to ask that, you know, that you, because you wasn't on the call or that you're listening in, but you have questions, please email me at DeniseBrysonMinistries@gmail.com. Again, that's DeniseBryson MinisTries, all one word, at gmail.com. And we can address those questions on the next broadcast, or we can address them before that, and we'll try to get you the answers that you need. If you have any questions, please feel free to email us and be able to do that. And, of course, this lesson will be available on podcast immediately after this broadcast. And we're so thankful to each and every one of you that call in, those that are listening in, those that have logged in, and even those that will listen to this broadcast in the archives later. We hope that the word has fell on good ground and that you will be able to you have received the word, and that you will be able to begin to live this godly life that God has set for us to do, a life of obedience and a life of joy and peace and all the things. And you will have the fruit of the Spirit that will be richly planted in you once you're filled with the Holy Ghost, for those that don't have it. And I would like to, at this time, and for those that don't know the Lord and the pardon of their sin, that if you would like to accept Christ today, that this is the day of salvation, and you can
yes.
accept him in your heart today. If you have believed, Romans 10, 9, is it 9, 10, Romans 10 and 1, 10 and 9, what is it, Saints? Y'all know what it is. But
10, 9.
Yeah. 10:9 says, if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that Christ God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So you can be saved today if you have that in your heart and you believe that and you want to turn your life over and give your life over to God today. He is open. He has open arms to accept you. And if you would repent of your sins today and give your life to the Lord. And all you have to do is if you repeat after me, Lord, I am a sinner. And I give my life over to thee today. I'm
yes.
turning from my sin, and I'm asking you to come into my heart and save me and fill me with the Holy Ghost. I believe that God has set you free today. I believe that God has, you have taken that first step towards salvation, and that the Lord has saved you today. And you have to always remember, God's arms are open wide. He said his arms are not too short that they cannot save. And so he is willing to save you if you repent from your sins and turn from your wicked ways. These are the things we have that we have to do and to give our life to Christ. So if you said that prayer today and if you believe in your heart that you have given, then you are saved. And so then now you need to continue on in this progressive state with salvation, seek for the Holy Ghost, begin to study the Word of God, find you a good Bible-teaching church that teaches the word of God, that you can continue to grow and to gain faith. Because as we repent of our sins, and we need to have faith in Christ, that he will do the finished work and he will complete it when he fills us with the Holy Ghost. And so we want you to find your good Bible-believing church and teaching church and begin to attend the Bible classes and attend the morning services where the word is being taught and where the word is being preached. If you want to gain strength, if you want to gain faith, that's where you need to be to do those things. So we believe that God has blessed you today, and we thank God for you being a part of this service. And I'm going to ask if Sister Dotson would do our final prayer. We thank Bishop Allen, our speaker, for his teaching today. And as always, all of those that are on the line, and I'll let Phyllis do the final prayer, but I always like to pray over those that have taught and those that have taken a part in the lesson today. I plead the blood of Jesus over your lives, that God
yes.
will do exceeding and abundantly and above all that you can even ask or think, and that the angels of the Lord would encamp around about you, and that you would be kept safe from all hurt, harm, and danger. And as you go through this week, that the blood of Jesus will continue to cover you and that you will be able to do all that God has purposed in the heart of your heart to do, and that you will continue to be kingdom-minded, and that the very souls that are attached to you, that are supposed to hear the ministry that will come forth out of you, will begin to come forward and begin to hear what God has given you to say to them, and that they will be saved. We thank God for the salvation of many from this broadcast, the word that has
yes.
gone forth, that many will be saved and many will be filled with the Holy Ghost. We claim that for the kingdom's sake. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Sister Phyllis, will you pray us out? And we will be back here next week on The Prospering Soul, and we'll be ready to teach the gospel, and I hope you will be ready to receive the gospel, what the Spirit has to say to the church. Sister Phyllis?
Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. Lord, we thank you so much for the word that we heard today. Dear God, it burned within our hearts. Dear God, now this week as we go, dear God, I pray that you continue to deal with us and open up our understanding and our eyes to your spirit, dear God. And then, God, help us to be able to help those that come to us, dear God, with questions about your spirit, dear God. Help us to understand. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and I pray that you bless us all this week. And, dear God, help us to speak life into everything that we say and do. Dear God, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Amen. God bless you.
Yes, all right.
We'll look forward to everybody being back next week on The Prospering Soul. God bless you.
God bless you.
Good night.